That was to the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 229. Once more, Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Beginning with the 18th verse, we'll read responsively through the 21st verse. And as is our custom here at First Baptist, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Let's pray. Father, we live in the midst of a miracle here. We probably don't always fully appreciate it as we should. But here we are, another miracle service. Thank you for tonight. We pray that you'd help us as we lay upon our hearts an intention to hear your word, and help us to indeed hear not only with our ears but with our hearts. We pray that this will be the type of sermon that will not only help us but help gear us for action for coming days, weeks, and months. Thank you for our preacher. We pray for your help for him. Fill him with thy spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Another one of my students. Mrs. House and I were on our 50th wedding anniversary trip. We went to Hawaii. And we got in the submarine. And we went down in the sea. And we came to a place where the submarine landed on the bottom of the sea. And I about had a spell. And you said, your sins are buried there. I saw them. It was an underwater mountain is what it was. And, that's wonderful. I'm proud of my students. And the text was announced this morning. I'm sure you recognize it tonight. It says that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. And here's my text and my title, as the days of heaven upon the earth. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, the days of heaven on the earth, or as heaven on earth. What I'm going to say tonight will affect you, everybody. There are times when I bring a message that affects some and will not immediately affect others, but later will. But tonight, everyone in this room will be affected with the sermon. I want every child to sit up straight, put your coloring book down, put your pencil down. I want every child, I don't care how young you are, if you're old enough to be in church, I want you to listen to Brother House tonight. I want every teenager to behave yourself and listen to me tonight. And every adult, if you're a little bit sleepy, slap yourself in the face. Or if a fellow beside you is sleepy, slap him. Listen to me now. I do want you to listen carefully. I will not be lengthy tonight, but I will be trying to help you. As heaven on earth, our Heavenly Father, This same piece of wood is the one behind which I preached for 40 years nearly. We've redone it. We recovered it. But this same piece of wood, I stood behind and read the scripture and preached over it. And now one more time, I do it again. I pray you help me tonight to be exactly what our people need, to cause something real and even revolutionary in some cases in our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is very plain. There is to be a heaven on earth. I'm not talking about the kingdom when Jesus rules and reigns. That truly will be heaven on earth. But I'm talking about now. In this day, there is to be a heaven on earth. In what we call the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, it's the model prayer. It's the model outline for prayer. It says that we're supposed to pray like this: Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, reminding us that there is a place where there is supposed to be a heaven on earth. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What is he saying there? He's not talking about we are seeking to go to heaven. It says we seek one to come. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek a city that is continuing to come. It means that we, before we get to heaven, are supposed to have a place where there is, like Fanny Crosby said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Or as the writer said, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now, there is a place. Ms. Hiles, last Friday night, she and I went out to eat, and we went to Jalapeno. We love to sing Jalapeno, 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 and we're just so creative like that. And we went to Jalapeno restaurant out here on Highway 41, Indianapolis Boulevard, or between here and or in Cherryville, I guess it is. And now what they've done there is, as in most Mexican restaurants, and I love Mexican food. I love it. And if you don't love it, you're not right with God. And you need to walk down this aisle tonight and get your wicked heart right with God. I love burritos. I love tamales. I love enchiladas and all that stuff. So shall we stand for our closing prayer, and we will re-adjourn at Jalapeno's. But what they've done is, in most Mexican restaurants, they have brought some of Mexico to our nation. I've been to Mexico many times to preach, and what they've done is they've brought the Mexican music and Mexican decor and a Mexican atmosphere and a Mexican menu, and they've taken one little spot, one little building, if you please, and they brought a little Mexico to the United States. That's exactly what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 is saying. There is to be a place. Are you listening? There is to be a place that is to be a heaven on earth. There is to be a place where heaven's atmosphere and heaven's love and heaven's conversation and heaven's music and heaven's spirit ought to prevail. And there is supposed to be such a place, a heaven on earth, as was said in Deuteronomy 11:21. Now, just where is this place supposed to be? As far as I know, this is the only time in the Bible where it mentions heaven on earth. What is he talking about? It so happens he's not talking about the church, though I do think a church ought to be a little foretaste of heaven. But he's talking about the home. The verses that precede Deuteronomy 11:21, the verses that precede that are talking about the home, talking about the teaching of the children, the Bible, and so forth, and talking about the home. So that means this. That means the home is supposed to be
heaven on earth. That little Mexican restaurant that is has brought little Mexico and put it up here is Mexico in America. And the place, the little building where we're supposed to have heaven on earth, according to Deuteronomy 11:21, is inside the home. Now, you listen carefully to a few statements. Number one is, if America has revival, it won't start in the church, it'll start in the home. If America has revival, it won't be because the altars full. It'll be because moms and dads get right with God, husbands and wives get right with God, children get right with each other, children get right with mama and daddy, and mama and daddy get right with the kids, and the home is cleaned up and transformed. If America ever has revival, it'll start in the home. That isn't all. You are only as good a Christian as you are at home. No, not as you are at church, but as you are at home. If you are not a good Christian at home, you're not right with God. And you are not a good Christian. Let me say it again. You are only as good a Christian as you are at home. Now, I'm not talking about the homes out yonder tonight watching TV. I'm talking about the homes of people sitting in this room tonight. I'm not talking about the folks out in the world. I'm talking about members of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And tonight, I'd like to see hundreds of homes and hundreds of marriages become heaven on earth. I'd like to see your home transformed from hell on earth or purgatory on earth to heaven on earth. And that's what God intends for it to be. There's supposed to be a little oasis in our society where heaven comes down and glory fills our soul, and where it is on earth as it is in heaven. And the Bible says that's supposed to be the home. Now, what I'm talking about the home is wherever you live. Wherever you live is supposed to be a heaven on earth. It may be a lovely house in suburbia. It may be, but it's supposed to be heaven on earth. It may be a flat in the inner city of Chicago, but where it is supposed to be a heaven on earth. It may be a neighborhood apartment, but it's supposed to be a heaven on earth. It may be a modern condominium, but it is supposed to be a heaven on earth. It may be a dorm room in a college, and it's supposed to be a heaven on earth. It may be a bed in a rescue mission, but it's supposed to be heaven on earth. It may be a third country hut, but it's supposed to be a heaven on earth. It may be a barracks in the Army or the Navy, but it's supposed to be a heaven on earth. It may be a shack with an outdoor toilet, but it's supposed to be a heaven on earth. Now you listen to me. There needs to be a revival in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, concerning our homes and our marriages. I have no greater desire, other than getting people saved, I have no greater desire than to see our homes and our marriages get straightened out. And tonight I come to you and tell you, if your home is not a heaven on earth, then you're not right with God. Did you hear what I said? And if you are a husband and you are not properly related to your wife, then you are not right with God. And if you are a wife and not properly related to your husband, then you are not right with God. And if you are a child and disobedient to mom and dad, then you are not right with God. And if you are a rebellious teenager causing mom and dad some problems, then you are not right with God. And it's time you got your act in order, and it's time you shaped up and got your home, not a hell on earth, where strife and fussing and complaining and soap operas and all the rest of it come, but it ought to be a touch of heaven. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Every weapon in Satan's arsenal is aimed at the home. The talk shows. And you haven't gotten the business watching them. And if you watch them, you're not right with God. The talk shows are aimed at marriage. Now you say, how do you know? Because I check the USA Today almost every day and check what the subjects are for that day. And it's a bunch of satanic-inspired people trying to destroy the very basis and foundation of our society, and that's the home, and that's the marriage. Check those subjects sometimes. Triangle romances, queers, transvestites, every kind. Let me tell you something, brother. Anybody who destroys the home shouldn't be an object of your attention. I say every weapon in Satan's arsenal is aimed at the home. The talk shows, the soap operas, the homosexual, queer movement, if you please, aimed at the home. God have mercy on this Methodist preacher performed a marriage for a couple of queers. Gun control laws, leaving the home unprotected, is aimed at the home. Divorce rate, women leaving the home, child care centers, the depreciation of the word girlfriend, which used to be the word a junior high boy can use against about the little girl that he liked across the room. They hadn't had enough courage to tell her he liked her. And now it's somebody that you're living with outside wedlock who's giving birth to your children. And ladies and gentlemen, as sure as there's a God in heaven, that's of the devil. And that kind of stuff is destroying our society. And yet you make heroes out of people like Scottie Pippen, who's living in that kind of a situation. And you make heroes out of a bunch of athletes and whoremongers and Hollywood movie stars who live in that kind of situation. And you yourself need to get right with God as well as they. The Internet. Let me stop here. Now you listen to me. No normal, red-blooded human being can watch that kind of filth that they're putting out on the Internet and be clean-minded and be right with God. Now, you young folks, listen to me. You hear what I'm telling you. You clean your act up. A guy said to me this morning in my office, he said, Brother Hines, I've got a sin. It's lust, and I can't conquer it. I've just gotten through preaching on any temptation you got. God will give you the wherewithal to conquer it. And you can conquer it. I said you can conquer it. I said you can conquer it. Some gal came up to me not long ago in a distant state and said to me, but in this generation, a boy can't walk down the aisle pure. And I said, you're a liar, and the devil is too, and he's your father. You can, but you can't be pure watching the soap operas, and you can't stay pure watching the talk shows, and you can't stay pure watching the movies, and you can't stay pure watching the filth on the Internet. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not preaching now to the folks across the street, the Catholic Church, or the folks down First Methodist Church, or Presbyterian Church. I'm talking to deacons and choir members and Sunday school teachers and staff members of First Methodist Church of Hammond. It's time you cleaned your act up at home. The press against the marriage and the home. Women in public office. Oh, Hillary, quit running for the Senate in New York and go home and bake some brownies. Women's equality, which is roaring, not raising the state of womanhood. And that's why the homes, not of America only, but a few people here. You'd be shocked if you knew what comes in my office and what is said in my office. What's going on? Listen, this morning, molestation of a child by an adult was told me in my office. Last week, a father molesting his own daughter. God bless your wicked soul. Molesting his own daughter. I'm not talking about Presbyterians and Methodists and Catholics. I'm talking about people that sit in this auditorium. I'm saying it's time you dads got right with God and cleaned up your act at home. It's time you women got right with God and cleaned up your act at home. It's time you teenagers decided you're going to obey your mom and dad, quit being a bunch of heathen rebels, and clean up your act at home. It's time you boys and girls decided you're going to obey mom and dad and quit making your home a hell on earth, but a heaven on earth. What does that mean? That means that mom and dad are going to have to get along in peace. I've said it before. I'll say it again. All you need to straighten up your marriage is for either one of you to become a good Christian. I didn't say both. I said either one. For either one of you to quit rendering evil for evil and start rendering good for evil. Now you listen to me. Love is unselfish. That means mom and dad are going to have to give in to each other. That means they're going to have to seek the other's comfort. That means they're going to have to grant each other's wishes. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 concerning marriage And the home says, submitting yourselves one to the other. Now, Mrs. Howes knows who's boss at our house. And I yield to her authority. She knows that I have the authority to make the final decision. And I know that. But I often let her make the final decision because I listen to her opinion and I go by her wishes. These men on the staff, these men here, Brother Alpina, for example, he has the youth department of our church. Now, he knows, and he'll bow to anything I want. He knows that I'm pastor of the church, and whatever I want, that's what he wants. But many times, I'll do what he wants. Now, that doesn't mean I'm weak. It means that I'm willing to obey the Bible when it says, submitting yourselves one to the other. I think it was 1938 when I did what you wanted one time, wasn't it? Now you listen, let me say it again. You listen to me. Husbands, it's time you loved your wife as Christ loved the church. If all the time I spend trying to get you husbands to love your wives like you ought to were spent on other things, you'd be amazed the things I could get done. Now, I come on, trot yourself into my office. I'll tell you what I'm going to tell you when you get in there, the same thing I'm telling you right now. Love your wife as Christ also loved the church. And I'm going to tell you ladies the very same thing. Submitting yourselves to your husband, be in subjection to your husband. That means that children are to get along in peace. Ever dawn on you that saved the Bible's for saved children too? You kids, listen to me. It's time you quit fussing with your brother. Now listen to me. You hear me. And this is not funny. You children, I'm talking about you children for 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 years old. You're not right with God if you fuss with your brother. You're not right with God if you fuss with your sister. Your home's supposed to be a heaven on earth, and you're making it a hell on earth because you as children are not right with God. I recall years ago when Jacqueline, who's now a senior in high school, she was chosen queen the other night for the homecoming, for the tournament queen. Cindy was sitting beside us. We were there at the game, and Cindy was emotional. Cindy's our daughter. And she said, Dad, Jacqueline was crowned queen, and she said, Dad, this couldn't have happened if it hadn't been for you. I said, I know. I called out this afternoon and told them who to crown. Cindy said, Dad, Jacqueline was just a bitty little tyke. Said, Jacqueline just throws a fit all the time. Still does. Said, Dad, what can I do? Said, she just gets on the floor and kicks and stomps. I'd like to tell Steve that, be careful, son. That's what you're headed for. But she just, and Cindy said, Dad, what can I do? I said, next time she does it, leave her. She said, she'll hold her breath. I said, she won't die. Anybody ever hear of a kid dying holding his breath? If they do, that'll solve your problem, too. But, Cindy said, Dad, you mean just walk away? I said, walk away, close the door, and let her have a big spell. And that cured it. They walked in, the entrance hall closet, that very day. And Jacqueline decided she was going to throw a fit. Cindy walked away. Now you listen to me. And by the way, it cured her for a while. But now you listen to me carefully. Does the Holy Spirit enter a child when he gets saved too? Ask you a question. Is a child, when saved, a new creature in Christ? Is the Bible for children too, or just folks 18 and over? Is prayer just for the saved child? or save it up, or an offer for the saved child, or the fruit of the Spirit for children too, is live peaceably with each other for children also, is in honor preferring one another just for adults. Now you listen to me, kids. You listen. You need to change your home from a hell on earth to a heaven on earth. I'm talking about quit fussing with your brother. Quit fussing with your sister. Kids, are you listening to me? Children 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you listen to me. It so happens you're saved too. You need preaching too. You need to get right with God too. And too many of you are making your homes a hell on earth. It's time you made them a heaven on earth by getting along with your brothers and sisters. This means that parents and children are to get along in peace too. Children not talking back to mom and dad. I said children not talking back to mom and dad. I'm talking about children 4 and 14. I'm talking about children 5 and 15. I'm talking about children 6 and 16. Making your home a hell on earth because you are a rebel. It's time you got right with God and decided to get along with your mom and dad and honor and respect your mom and dad. And the First Baptist Church of Heaven, as I said two Sunday nights in a row, needs an old-fashioned revival of young people respecting adults and respecting age. I don't care if it's your mom and dad, your school teacher, or your principal, or your Sunday school teacher. I'm telling you, don't show me your soul winning report. I'm not interested in it if you don't obey your mom and dad. Don't show me your Bible memory verses. I'm not interested if you're not right with mom and dad. Don't show me your athletic ability. I'm not interested in your basketball prowess. If you are not, and I'm not talking about obeying like this. Okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being a Christian. Time you teenagers decided you're going to make a contribution to a heaven on earth inside your house. Don't show me your honor roll if you don't obey mom and dad. And I'm talking about everybody living at home, not married yet. Don't show me your cheerleading outfit. Don't show me your National Honor Society pin. Don't show me your singing group. Don't show me your beauty or your muscles. Don't show me your piano recital. Ladies and gentlemen, America is not going to have revival, listen to me, till teenagers get right with God. Every great move of God that's ever taken place has started with teenagers. Charles G. Finney said that very statement. Every great revival has started with teenagers. And I want to tell you something. It's time some of you big shots and you fellows that think the sun comes up to hear you crow every morning, it's time you stop to realize you're not the hot shot you think you are. It's time you realize that you're making your home a hell on earth and you're breaking the heart of mama and breaking the heart of dad. It's time you got your wicked heart right with God and obeyed your mom and dad and made your home a heaven on earth. Now, what's the key word to all of this? The key word is subjection. The child being subject to the parents. For example, amazing verse. One of the most amazing verses in all the Bible, Luke 2:51. Don't miss this. The 12-year-old Jesus had been missing. Mary and Joseph could not find him. For several days he was missing, and finally they found him. They asked him, Mary said, your father and I have sought thee. And he said, what? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? The Jewish son, when he was 12 years old, the Jewish boy, was taken by his dad at the age of 12. His dad picked out his profession for him, and his dad told him what profession he was going to follow. From that moment forward, he studied that profession until he was an adult, and then that was his manner of livelihood. When Jesus was 12 years of age, his heavenly father took him aside and told him why he came to earth. Now hear me carefully. Jesus knew from the time he was 12 that he was the Messiah, that he was the one of Isaiah 53, that he was the one of Micah 5:2, that he was the one of Numbers 24:17. He knew that. He was 12 years old, junior high. Now get this. He was God and knew it. He was the Messiah and knew it. He was sinless and knew it. They were sinful and he knew it. Mary and Joseph were sinners. Jesus knew it. He was not a sinner. He knew it. But the Bible says, quote, Jesus was subject unto them. Did you hear what I said? The perfect Son of God. That's almost as good as some of you teenagers. Jesus is almost as perfect as you are. Well, if you're such a good Christian then, if you're a better Christian mom and dad, then you ought to be a good enough Christian to obey the Bible. If the perfect Son of God was in subjection to his to Mary and Joseph, then you ought to be in subjection to your parents because you're not perfect, you're a sinner also. Bumper sticker says, my child is on the honor roll at Evolution University, or Evolution High School. Shoot, fool you on that stuff. I like the one that said, my child beat up your honor roll student. Somebody ought to put some bumper stickers that says, my child obeys me. Now you listen to me. I don't care if you're the all-conference basketball guard, center, or forward. You're not right with God unless you obey cheerfully your mom and dad. I don't care if you're the National Honor Society and you're the valedictorian of the senior class. You're not. I said you're not right with God. Why? Because you are not in subjection to your mom and dad. It is a command of God Almighty, and it's time you got right with God. Not only as the child subjects himself to his parents, but the wife subjects herself to her husband. Well, that quietened everything down. Now, you listen carefully, ma'am. If you are not submissive to your husband, you are not right with God. If you are not in subjection to your husband, you're not right with God. Don't talk to me about the Sunday school class you're building. Don't talk to me about how good a Bible teacher you are. Don't talk to me about your foster club successes and your Candle of the Lord club converts. Don't talk to me about your singing voice. Don't talk to me about your prayer power. Don't talk to me about your Bible knowledge. Don't talk to me about your soul winning. Don't talk to me about your being, your walk with God. You listen. The home is supposed to be heaven on earth. Little children are supposed to contribute, and teenagers are supposed to contribute, and mama is supposed to contribute by being in subjection to her own husband. And then the husband and wife, as I said a while ago, are to be in subjection to each other. You're not supposed to go home tonight and say, did you hear what he said, babe? Obey me. Well, she ought to do it, but she ought to puke while she does. There ought to be such a respect on the part of the wife for the husband, she'll trust his judgment. But if there is not that respect, she's already commanded to subject herself to her husband. Well, my husband's as good a Christian as I am. Mary and Joseph were not as good Christians as Jesus was either. But from the age of 12, we know that he was in subjection to Mary and Joseph. Men, what you going to have to do to make your home a heaven on earth? Huh? Does your wife think you're a good Christian? If I could talk to her confidentially, she'd bare her heart to me. Does she think you're a good Christian? Does your husband think you're a good Christian? Men, first place, I want you to realize it's sin. Sin. Wicked sin. Filthy, rotten, putrid, stinking, sorry, lousy sin. For you not to make your part of the home a heaven on earth. Ladies, are you contributing to your home to make it a heaven on earth? Ours was as I was growing up. We didn't have indoor plumbing. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have running water. We didn't have anything but a few leftover pieces of furniture. I'm not talking about the kind of house you live in. And by the way, there are a lot of these little shacks down yonder in your third world country, brother. A lot more heaven on earth than some of these million-dollar houses here in this area. How about a teenager? Are you contributing to making your home a heaven on earth? Hey, El Poco! Hey, El Revel! When you say nobody understands me, boy, that's dead true. And you won't understand your teenagers some of these days, but I'll tell you what. A lot of you teenagers, when you get some teenage kids of your own, God's going to see to it they give you fits. It's time that the teenagers of First Baptist Church, the bus kids, the Hammond Baptist High School kids, I'm talking about the freshmen, the juniors, the seniors, the sophomores, the junior high school kids. It's time you got at home and said yes, sir, and no, sir, and made your home a heaven on earth, came to Sunday school class and obeyed your teacher and listened to your teacher, went to your school and lived like a Christian ought to live. It's time you teenagers got right with God, and it's time you kids got right with God. It's time you women got right with God. It's time you husbands got right with God. So interesting to me, when those words are used, one time in the Bible, it's talking about the four walls of your house. Old story. A little blind boy came on our buses, sat over here on the front row. We were singing amen, laughing. Little blind boy looked up and asked an adult, is this heaven? Is this heaven? The adult said, son, why do you think that? Well, he said, my bus captain said if I'd come out to First Baptist Church, you'd tell me how to get to heaven. Are we there yet? Now, whatever that is, it needs to be transferred into your house. Brother Charlie Hand years ago was one of my assistant pastors. We had a wall right here, pulpit over here, this is the center aisle. One of those doors back there was clear glass, like all of them were then. One Sunday, I think it was Sunday night, I looked back in the summer Sunday night and I saw a man, ill-clad, man of the streets, looking through the door. I said, Brother Hand, go back and invite him in. Brother Hand went back, invited him in. The fellow said, you mean I'm welcome in there? Oh, yes, you are. You better know you're welcome in here. He got saved that night. I went back to my office after the service, stayed there probably 45 minutes or more. Had to come back to the auditorium for something, and he was sitting over here on this side in an empty building. And I said, sir, you'll have to leave. We're going to turn the lights out. And the man off the streets who got saved that night said, don't make me go out there. Don't make me go out there. It's hell out there. It's hell out there. It's heaven in here. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And that's what this church is supposed to be. But ladies and gentlemen, we're supposed to take it home with us. I ask you a question. Don't you think it's time some of you children had a revival and realized the Bible's for you too? I'm a little tired of people accepting children's misbehavior. Well, you know how children are. They fuss. Yeah, the devil's children do. But God's children don't have to. And you boys and girls don't have to fuss with each other and fuss with your mama. When mama says, take the garbage out, you say, yes, ma'am, and smile and get that garbage and take it out. And mothers, if you expect them to obey you, you might better obey God, too, and be in subjection to your husband. As heaven on earth. He's talking about the home. He's talking about mom and dad loving each other. He's talking about mom and dad being gracious to each other. He's talking about teenagers being submissive happily to mom and dad. He's talking about teenagers getting along with each other, even if she stole your colors. He's talking about children getting along with each other. Let me read it for you again. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give him, as the days of heaven on earth. Listen to me, instead of straight, look at me. A lot of you teenagers are going to die when you're in your 30s and 40s. My Bible said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, I'm not saying everybody dies in his 30s and 40s, everybody's just a kid. But I'll tell you one thing. If you want to lengthen your life on earth, it might be a good idea if you'd obey your mom and dad. God said, that your days may be long as heaven on earth. Some of you husbands ought to go home tonight after you've gotten up off your knees at the altar. Did you ever dawn on you, this altar is not a place for college students only. Did you ever dawn on you that the knees of deacons would fit these steps too? Ever dawn on you that staff members could kneel here without being punished? Ever dawn on you that 70-year-old knees could kneel here as well as 17 or 18-year-old knees? So you guys, after you've gotten off your knees, you ought to go home. You ought to have a little meeting with your family and say, I don't know what you're going to do, but Dad's going to try to do all he can to make this place a heaven on earth. Some of you women ought to go home after you've gotten off your knees at the altar and say to your family, I'm afraid I've not contributed as I should. But from this moment forward, your mama and your wife is going to be a peace-loving, peaceful person and do what I can to make our home a heaven on earth. And some of you teenagers ought to go home and you ought to just call your family together and say, Mom and Dad, preacher's right. I know it. And by the way, I am right on this because it's in the book. I'm going to be a submissive teenager from now on, and you're going to be proud of me. And you're not going to have to trot up and defend me all the time because there won't be anything to defend me for. Because I won't even be questionable. It's time some of you children went home tonight and said to Mom and Dad, you're going to see a different child. I am going to contribute to making our home as heaven on earth. If it dawn on you, ladies and gentlemen, if the homes of the people in this room are not heaven on earth, pray tell me what the rest of them are like. Our Heavenly Father,